This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, as we roll into a State of the Union address that's coming up about 3 hours from now. Obviously, that's after we're off the air. So, well, we'll get to that here in just a few, because Donald Trump has some things he wants to convey tonight. We'll talk about State of the Unions in general. We'll get to some of that tonight. We'll talk about the communists' love of foreigners. You are not, I didn't have a chance to get to this tonight or last night, but you are not just an economic unit. Remember that? A meat sack made to provide a paycheck to people. That is not what you are at all. Always remember that. We'll have a discussion because everyone from Governor DeWine to Tony Evers to Sam Altman, they seem to think you are. We'll talk about the Supreme Court. There's a huge ruling and Donald Trump is worried about it. All that. Selena Zito's coming up in the final hour. What do normal Americans talk about? And I'm going to get to that in a moment. Brandon Weikert in the second hour. I want to know if we are about to start dropping bombs on Iran, what does that mean? All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's get to what's coming up in a few hours. And no, I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. Maybe you like it. I'm not going to do the lame State of the Union preview show. Isn't that so boring? We're about to hear the State of the Union. What do you need a preview of it for? I'm going to warn you this. Donald Trump, he loves public speaking. Some people are mortally afraid of it. Most people are. Some people are okay with it. Some people love it. Some people get in front of a big group of people and they actually get energy from the crowd, from the speech. I went to one Donald Trump rally in my life. You know I'm not big on speeches and rallies, but I wanted to go see it. I wanted to go experience it. He came to Houston. This is a long time ago. I went with my buddy, my mentor, Michael Berry. I went out to the rally. I left after 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours. I left and he was still talking. And I wasn't trying to be disrespectful, but I had places to go. I had things to do. And it's not like he was winding down. He was rolling. And at his age, think about that. Think how impressive that is. Why? How can he do that? It revs him up. It charges his batteries. He already is someone who gives long, long speeches. Knowing that, Donald Trump has already announced that tonight is going to be a long, long speech. He said it's going to be a long speech. We might be looking at a two-hour affair? Chris says more. Okay, so I don't know your bedtime, and I don't know how politically obsessed you are, but we should keep in mind who is actually listening and who is the target for tonight. I'm going to watch the speech. I'm going to watch every single minute of it. Maybe you will as well. Maybe you'll watch the first 30, 40 minutes and then turn in, go to bed. Maybe you'll get bored. Who knows? But I feel like I owe it to you to watch the entire thing. Even though that's a little long for me, I feel like I owe it to you. But most Americans will not. They absolutely will not. And Trump will know this, which means the first 20, 30 minutes of the speech, keep this in mind before we go into it, the first 20, 30 minutes of the speech, will probably be the most important by a mile. There will be exponentially more people watching at the beginning than there will be watching at the end. That's the way it works. It's late. People get bored. They turn it off. Now, I mentioned we have Brandon Weikert coming up halfway through next hour to talk about Iran. We have a gigantic military buildup currently around Iran. Planes, ships, logistics. It's the kind of military buildup that's it's not going to be a bombing run like before. I don't know whether or not Donald Trump has made the final decision on Iran and what he wants to do there. I don't know. I hear all the rumors that you hear. He's leaning towards it, but he's getting pushback from people like J.D. Vance who are cautioning, but other people are saying do it. I hear all the same rumors. Donald Trump famously keeps these things a little close to the vest, so I don't know that the people super close to Donald Trump know if he's made a decision or not yet. We probably won't know till the bombs start dropping. But I will say this. Donald Trump, he has to sell this. He does. This is not me saying don't do it. This is not me saying do it. I see a whole host of problems that can come with it, but if you'll forgive me, I'm a little jaded on the whole involvement in the Middle East thing from past experience. But no matter what, this is not about my feelings or what's right or what's wrong or Iran or the mullahs or Israel or anything else. People don't care about Iran. And politically involved people in the media and in politics, people in a bubble can oftentimes not see the truth of something. It's not that people love Iran. It's not that people really hate Iran. Iran never, ever, ever, not one time has it come up for me in conversation with all my normie friends. It just doesn't come up. Before, when we bombed their nuclear sites, that was a moment where it made us all stand up and cheer. But why? Why did it make us stand up and cheer? Well, one, it was impressive. We flew clear around the world and bombed out their nuclear sites. We have no love for Iran here, and we shouldn't. And we didn't lose a man. Nobody was even injured. So it was all a win. It was like Venezuela. Venezuela, I mean, gutsy, going into Caracas. Chris, you hear that? Going into Caracas in the middle of the night, snatching up their president, his wife, didn't lose a man. Well, it was all positive, right? But how can you even dog on it? Maybe you're concerned about this or that, but overall, the operation, amazing. We all stood up and cheered. Iran. If we can get in and out without losing a man, and we maybe can, I don't know. If we can get in and out without any casualties, the American people will probably stand up and cheer a bit and say, nice, good job, because all people love when their country gets a win in wars. It's always been that way. Human beings are built like that. They cheer for their nation when their nation goes to war. The only people who don't are Democrats, but that's another story entirely. But the buildup, the military buildup we see right now, it is not one of a quick bombing run and then we're home in time to watch The Simpsons. What we're seeing, this kind of military hardware, this is going to be a military campaign. Not a single mission, a campaign. All right. Now, how many people do you know? And let me put a big qualifier on this. Your normie friends. Not you and me, not political people. Your normie friends. How many people do you know have ever mentioned Iran to you or care about Iran at all? Chris says none. I don't know one. Not one. Never comes up. I have had more comments from my normie friends about Donald Trump's social media posts than I ever have had one time about Iran. Now we have a State of the Union address tonight. We have this gigantic military force parked outside of Iran. Donald Trump, if his intention is to go in, and it sure looks like it at this point, momentum being what it is, I don't even know that you can stop it. Trump has to sell it. For the people who tune in for 10, 20, 30 minutes, Donald Trump has to sell why it's necessary. It's not my job to tell him how to sell it, because I don't know how I would possibly sell it. But Donald Trump's a much better salesman than I ever hoped to be. Maybe he has a plan for that. People with maxed out credit cards, paying $6 a pound for burger, power bills going up, son has a $100,000 education but can't find a job. How do you make that family care deeply about Iran? I don't know. But that's the challenge. We'll see if it happens. We'll finish this up in a second. We'll move on and talk about other things. Before we do that, let's do this. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, I love them because they do what I want from every company. They make my life easier. That's the idea, right? Don't put extra burdens on me. Make my life easier. Give me something that makes my life easier. If you're trying to hire someone, it can be a nightmare. It can be a full-time job, but you have a business to run. Why don't you let ZipRecruiter do the matchmaking? Like it's a dating site, only for employees. Please don't date your employees, by the way. ZipRecruiter finds the best candidates. They put them in front of you immediately. No more months and months and months of sifting through resumes. People don't show up for interviews. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse is going to have the people you want in front of you fast. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you could email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I should give you a little programming note on the whole email thing before we get back to a couple of quick State of the Union things. Jewish producer Chris told me when I walked out of here today, there's some kind of techno nerd language around it, so I can't help you out with this, but there was some sort of a crash in the system, the email system, so every email you sent for the last 24 hours, it never got here. Sorry. We try to make it a priority to read all the emails that aren't insane or stupid or complaining about advertisers. I never got it. So if you sent one you really wanted me to read, it never got here. So you could send it again or come up with a new one. There were probably typos in it anyway. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Anyway, that's about the extent of my State of the Union analysis. Donald Trump's going to do many things tonight, of course. All presidents do. He's going to tout what's gone well. He's going to try to sell Iran. If his intention is to go in, he's going to try to sell Iran. He's going to point out various things. He's going to point out how crazy the left is. He's probably going to use it as kind of a jumping off point to rally Republican votes for the midterms. That's probably where he's going. Now, to the theater kids. Of course, we have headlines like this. At least a dozen Democrats will ditch the Trump State of the Union speech for a national mall rally. You have people like Angie Craig out there saying this.
Rather stick forks in my eyes than be here tonight to listen to Donald Trump talk about the State of the Union.
Okay. Just don't let it get to you tonight when the theater kids do theater kid things. Remember Nancy Pelosi tearing up a speech behind Donald Trump when he gave the State of the Union? You remember that. Remember they always have to wear something special in solidarity for some dirtball commie cause. There's always going to be one that has to go out there and cause a scene. There's always one. There's going to be more than one tonight. Do yourself a favor and don't let it get to you, because here's what you should not be anticipating. Decorum. I wish we lived in a country that had that still, where there was some level of decorum. But that country is behind us. And so don't let it stress you out or bother you all night when some new commie idiot gets up, makes a scene, gets themselves thrown out. And keep this in mind. And this is going to matter a lot. For the Democrat voter, as we've discussed so many times before, stopping Trump, opposing Trump, is by a mile the most important thing to Democrat voters. Every Democrat poll shows this. That's what Democrat voters want. Even if you can't really define what that means. Democrat politicians read all these polls. They live and die for these polls. So if you're a Democrat member of the House of Representatives, if you're a Democrat senator, if you get your butt thrown out by causing a scene at Trump's State of the Union, you and I will be watching it from home and we'll say to ourselves, that's ridiculous. What a moron. Why would he do that? Why did Al Green do this? You and I were mad. We were all yelling at the TV, sit down. And Mike Johnson had to throw him out.
Take your seat. Finding that members continue to engage in willful and concerted disruption of proper decorum, the chair now directs the sergeant-at-arms to restore order.
Mike Johnson threw out Al Green and you cheered. Democrat voters cheered when he stood up and caused a scene. That's what their voting base wants. You think we're the only people, you and me, who know about this poll?
Democrats in Congress oppose Trump too often, just 4%. How about the right amount? Just 19%. How about not enough? You don't have to be a mathematical genius to know that this is the largest number on your screen. 77% of Democratic voters say that their party in Congress does not oppose Donald Trump nearly enough. They want them to fight Trump.
77%. As we have discussed before, if you are a politician trying to represent a political party, and there is an issue that gets 77% approval with the voter, you don't have a choice. That's what you are. That's what you will campaign on. For Republicans, Donald Trump is the most popular Republican in the United States of America. In many places, Republicans will campaign as if I'm Mr. Trump, I'm MAGA. You see all these loser senators like John Cornyn trying to save their careers campaigning for that. The flip side of that, if you're a Democrat at any level of elected office, even if you can't do anything to oppose Donald Trump, running to be some local school board member, opposing Donald Trump is what your base wants to hear. So when they cause a stink tonight and do their theater kid thing, don't let it stress you out. Don't let it surprise you. They are tossing red meat to their voters. Let it go. Now, speaking of let it go, we're going to move on from this State of the Union stuff. And I'm going to talk to you about not being an economic unit. Because there's a couple politicians who have said something, and a billionaire, that really, really bothers me. Hang on.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday, State of the Union night. And remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So we're going to check a few boxes off, because there's a couple things I want to talk about before we get to Brandon Weikert next hour, Iran, what are they capable of? Before we get to Selena Zito, emails, anything else, I wanted to remind you of this. Not that you need me to remind you of it, but there's a lot more to life than money. You are not an economic unit. You're not your bank account. And I'm not doing this hokey Beatles thing of, money doesn't matter. That's not true. People have to buy food and pay bills, and all people want some niceties in life, comfortable pair of shoes, a nice vacation, a car that runs. I'm not being dismissive of all that. But my point is, because I'm going to play a couple things here, Ohio's Republican governor, Wisconsin's communist governor, a billionaire, and the things I'm going to play all come back to this. I despise it when anyone, politician, billionaire, anybody, discusses human beings as if they're just economic units, where your value in life is simply the amount of tax money you pay, where your value in life is just whatever your paycheck happens to be if you have a job. Paychecks matter. I understand that. I get it. You're so much more than that. And the topic of immigration is obviously, it really brings this to the forefront because you can see how these people think about the citizens they supposedly care about. Mike DeWine is the governor of Ohio, sadly. Dirtball, locked down his state like any commie, but he's the governor of Ohio. And he was asked about the Haitians. Now, the people of Ohio don't want to live around mass quantities of Haitian foreigners because Haiti is a dump with a garbage culture. And when you bring in large amounts of Haitians, you bring that culture into your state. Now, listen to how he talks about them, though.
My position has been very clear in regard to TPS for Haitians.
I think, temporary protected status,
yes,
which the president is trying to revoke.
Yeah,
right
I think
now.
I think the policy to revoke that is wrong. I think there's a consensus in this country, as we all have said, let's get rid of the violent offenders, get them out of here. I think there's a consensus behind the need to do a good job on the border, and I think the president gets high marks for doing that on the border. But once you get beyond that, I don't think there's a consensus for taking people who are working, who are supporting their family. And we've kind of seen it in almost in a micro way with the Haitian community that's come into Springfield. Mm-hmm. Springfield is an industrial city, manufacturing city that was down. It has been coming back. And frankly, one of the reasons it's coming back is because of the Haitians who are working there.
No care or concern for the wonderful people in Ohio, the state in which I was born, the state where virtually all of my family still lives and my wife's family. No concern for them, their culture, the safety, the cleanliness of their communities, the school system, healthcare system. No concern at all. Hey, we need to keep them all here. After all, those manufacturing jobs. What a terrible way to talk about people. Your people. The people of Ohio. Mike DeWine was not elected governor of Haiti. He was elected governor of Ohio and should be there fighting for the people of Ohio. Oh, it's not just him. Here's Wisconsin's governor, Tony Evers.
If I had a chance and I knew it would have an impact, I'd tell them to leave the immigrants here in Wisconsin alone. They're the ones that milk our cows. They're the ones that work in our factories. If they go after those folks, our economy will implode overnight. He should know.
If you get rid of the foreigners, our economy will implode here in Wisconsin. What a way to talk about people. What about your people, the Americans, the people in Wisconsin who are American? Any concern at all for them? And that brings me to this billionaire. I don't know him. Sam Altman. This is different. It's not about foreigners. He's talking about AI, artificial intelligence, and I've made my thoughts on it well known. I choose not to participate in AI. I want a world run by humans. I want art made by humans. I want books written by humans. I want jobs done by humans. All jobs. That's what I want. I don't apologize for that. I want you to be able to drive Uber and DoorDash. That's a solid job. I told you we were just on the University of Arizona's campus this weekend for the gymnastics celebration for Ab, my wife, and all over campus there were these little robots delivering food. The big student union where all the restaurants are, no human beings. Load up the food into a robot. That's a good job for somebody. Gone. And I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Working people need jobs. And people matter. Listen, Listen to this. He's talking about AI.
One of the things that is always unfair in this comparison is people talk about how much energy it takes to train an AI model relative to how much it costs a human to do one inference query. But it also takes a lot of energy to train a human. It takes like 20 years of life.
What? Human beings matter more. Human beings are everything. Well, it takes a while to train AI. It takes a while to train people too. So it's basically the same thing. We are not economic units. We are not. We are human beings created by God. We have every right to expect our political leaders to defend us as more than economic units. Can we get some Haitians in here? Yeah, they'll help the manufacturing industry. We need some slave labor here. Hey, who's going to milk the cows? Can we go get some people from Mexico? You have every right to be treated like a human being created by God, and it bothers me so much that so many people out there talk about you and me as if we're just a paycheck or a tax check or a whatever. No, not at all. I'm tired of politicians discussing foreigners as if they're what actually matters because, hey, look at the taxes they bring in. Who's going to do the landscaping? As if our culture doesn't matter. As if our the cleanliness of our cities and towns doesn't matter. Schools don't matter. Nothing matters. Hey, look at that tax revenue, baby. Sick of it. Can't stand it. Hey, Jesse, you taught us so much over the years and some things I just can't unsee. The Save America Act seemed like another low-T GOP talking point they would waste, but it's been gaining traction. I'm starting to get the uneasy feeling inside. When John Thune supported it, I found it curious, but when Susan Collins supported it, alarm bells went off. Only I didn't know why yet. Then almost a week later, lo and behold, everyone is blaming Mitch McConnell for holding it up. Must be good old Mitch's turn to take a turn or take the fall and stick his foot in the door. This is what they do. As we've talked about so many times before, a relatively small cabal of GOP senators. They believe they are there to protect the swamp. And they'll campaign like hardcore righties. And sometimes they'll vote like hardcore righties. But right when we have an opportunity to put a nail in the coffin of communism in this country, they step right up and they stop us. Happens far, far too often. Anyway, let's do some more of these emails. Before we get to emails, we are going to mention the latest attempt on Trump's life. And then we'll get to emails and we'll talk to you. I want to talk to you first about Pure Talk, though. I want to talk to you about where your cell phone money goes. I know you have a mobile phone. Maybe you have several in your household. We have four in mine. I get it. But you see, those big cell companies are awful. Awful. Go look up whoever your cell company is. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile. Go look them up. Just put in that word in DEI, ESG, Black Lives Matter, Planned Parenthood. Look where your money's been going. You don't ever have to worry about that when you switch to Pure Talk. Pure Talk shares and promotes your values. Remember last Independence Day? They were just sending out flags to veterans. Didn't ask for anything. Hey, just nominate a veteran. We'll send him a flag. That's so friggin' awesome, man. And you'll pay less. Keep your phone, keep your number, pick up your phone, dial #250 and just say Jesse Kelly. It's easy. Switch during the break. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. State of the Union coming up 2 hours from now. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, and I'll get to those emails in a moment. I just want to touch on this again. Someone tried to kill Donald Trump or his family again. I know you've probably already seen it. Guy has a shotgun, gas cans. This has happened so many times already. I hate that that's where we are as a country. I hate that that's what we've become, an assassination type country. And I hate it because I'm the ugliest ugly American, and I grew up doing, you know, the stuff you do. We look at these other countries and there's always a coup and there's always an assassination. There's always a something. And we scoff at them and say, wow, what a bunch of savages. What a bunch of animals locking up their political opponents. This guy getting killed, running for office. Look at how uncivilized they are. I have so enjoyed looking down my nose at other places for that very reason. And I hate that the communists have brought us to where we are now. And it is them. It's 100% on the Democrats. It's 100% on the communists. Oh, the endless rhetoric. Nazi, 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 Nazi. Combined with an increasingly mentally ill Democrat base. Drugged out, anti-anxiety meds, trannies, you name it. It's essentially created an army where all it takes is the right kind of a spark. And you get someone to grab a gun and fly from California with the intention of assassinating Brett Kavanaugh on his doorstep. And I'm saddened about it because I know it won't change. I know it won't change. They didn't change their rhetoric or anything after they shot up a congressional baseball game. They didn't change their rhetoric after Donald Trump got shot in the head. They didn't change their rhetoric after Charlie Kirk died. They won't change their rhetoric now. And the truth is, they won't change their rhetoric. They won't do it because they want these things to happen. There is no other conclusion you can possibly come to. Democrats want their opponents to die and be hurt. They believe violence is a necessary part of the communist revolution, as all communists do, and that's why they have never changed, and they simply will not. And so this is where we're at now. Honestly, this story, it barely made the news. Somebody snuck onto the president's property with fuel and a firearm with the intention to kill, and it barely made the news because we've all, look, all of us, I know you weren't shocked. I'm not shocked. We've come to expect it. How many times have I told you? It's not like it's some crazy prediction. There are going to be more assassinations of Republicans. Maybe just normal people like you and me, maybe politicians, but it's a guarantee, a guarantee. If you've done a bunch of things with your rhetoric and weaponizing your base and increasing instability, mental instability, if you've done a bunch of things that have caused assassins to go crazy out there, and in response to those assassinations and assassination attempts, you don't make any changes at all. Well, what other conclusion could I come to? You want these things to happen. Democrats want, they want us dead. They want us hurt. That's why they haven't changed. They believe they are fighting a communist revolution. They have so broken the minds of the average Democrat that they actually, these people genuinely believe I'm up against Nazis. It's Hitler. You can't deport rapists. That's what Himmler would do. I know it's bonkers, but they believe this stuff. And how many people do you have to say that to before you finally find one who's going to act on it? Losers. Broken, nothing to lose, grabbing a gun, going to try to get famous on the way out the door. And Democrats don't care at all. They don't care. They are not swayed by the violence because they want the violence to happen. We hear over and over and over again the exact same rhetoric, which gets people fired up and gets people to do something terrible. As I've told you before, I've always told you to stay legal, and I've cautioned you against violence. I have a concern, I have always had it, that something I say one day, you know, the show's national now, the show got big, I don't know why, but the show got big.
I worry that I may say something one day that will cause someone to go hurt somebody. I have always been afraid of that. It's never happened. I'm very, very grateful for that. But, it, you know, and you could say, well, Jesse, I would never. Jesse, I know you wouldn't, but what if the wrong words land wrong for some guy who's down and out, maybe having some real mental problems, maybe some substance abuse problems, wife left him, lost his job, tunes in one night, maybe obviously misinterprets something I say and marches out to hurt somebody, I'd be devastated. But think about the opposite of that. Democrats have watched as their street animals have gone on a murder spree at this point in time, a murder, an attempted murder spree. People have died. Many people have died already, and they haven't slowed down or stopped at all. No conscience at all. All they care about is power and the revolution, and it's really, really, really gross. It genuinely is, and it bothers me a great deal. It does. All right. We have to have a little talk about a big Supreme Court case. Trump is issuing a little warning. I know I owe you emails. We still have so much to get to. Brandon Weikert is going to join us about 30 minutes from now. Iran, what are they capable of? We're clearly going to do something. Why are we doing it? What should we be worried about? Can they hurt us? Can they hurt our troops? All that and more coming up. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.